What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that it's a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
Amen, amen. Can you give God a hand clap of praise? I want to say this, and we're going to jump into this word this morning, but we're in a series on spiritual warfare entitled We Wrestle Not. And one of the things that I know is that as we have moved into this series and we are exposing the hand and the plan of the enemy, I am aware of the fact that spiritual warfare has intensified in your personal lives. One thing I know about the Word of God, and I know specifically about the enemy, is that when you get to the point that you are exposing Satan, he is not excited about being exposed, right? And so when the plan is being revealed, then his job is to distract you from getting an understanding of how to defeat him, right? And so he will war with you as much as he can. I know you went through warfare. Getting here this morning for many of you was a struggle. Because of the warfare, the enemy was doing all he could to say, stay at home. Because the last thing the devil wants you to do is have an understanding of his plan. Now, I want to say this. You have to wake up every single day with a mind of spiritual warfare. Because the Bible tells us, it says that the enemy, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So on a regular basis, the enemy is looking for where is the prey going to be today? Who am I going to find that will be exposed today? Who's not going to be prepared for spiritual warfare? Who's going to remain ignorant of my strategies? Who's going to think they're too smart? Because one of the greatest enemies of understanding spiritual warfare is human logic. Because you can go all throughout the Word of God. The enemy actually defeated Eve by making her think that she could grow in her logic. Oh, challenge me with the Word. I'm going to come forward because I see what's happening generationally. It's not a bad thing to be seeking for knowledge. But when you allow logic and knowledge to be handed to you that does not line up with the Word of God and it pulls you against the Word of God, then that is trying to supersede what God has said in order to leave you open for the enemy to attack your life. And I'm never going to let you be comfortable with that. And you got two choices when you feel uncomfortable here. You can stay and grow, or you can go. But what I'm going to do is give you truth. I'm not going to be under pressure to accept your logic that doesn't line up with the Word of God. This is an apostolic and prophetic address. I'm not going to be pressured to ever accept your logic that does not line up with the Word of God. And you better be careful of who you are allowing to lead you outside of who God has called to lead you. I feel called to rebuke that this morning because some of you are allowing people to pull you into foolishness. Let me show you something. They ain't teaching you right. Does it line up with the Word of God? It does. I don't even want to hear it. Into the Word. Sometimes you got to do that. I have an apostolic anointing on my life and prophetic, and sometimes it's going to come out a little rough. When I'm pastoring you, I coochie coo you. Amen. When I'm a prophet and I'm apostle, I don't have the time to water down what God has said to make you comfortable. And I won't. Amen. Now, I will say this. This week, we saw a powerful demonstration of understanding spiritual warfare. I know Kendra Seldes is in the house, and her mom, Ms. Janice, reached out to me. They've been applying the principles of spiritual warfare, right? Binding the enemy, loosing angels on a regular basis, daily, she gets up at lunchtime and goes and sits in her vehicle. Do I have this right? Lunchtime, she sits in her vehicle. That's a part of her daily process. For some reason, she did not feel compelled to sit in her vehicle at lunchtime on Friday. This is what she does on a regular basis. This is why you got to be spiritually sensitive. You want to know what happened Friday when she wasn't sitting in her vehicle? A tree fell on her vehicle. If you would have seen the pictures, had she been in there, she would have surely been damaged severely and or dead. But spiritual warfare and spiritual sensitivity and not waking up, not being in tune with what the Spirit is saying, saved her life. Even when we come into this atmosphere, we have to be sensitive in here. Last Sunday in the 11:15, as much as I desired to preach the word of God, that was not the will of God for last weekend. It was important, actually, what the Holy Spirit revealed is that there were several people in the room who were contemplating taking their life, and that if we did not linger in that moment, that their life would depend on what we were doing then. Now, as I released that into the room, you saw it break out all over the room. I didn't even realize at the moment that we were in suicide prevention month. Yep. So the enemy is definitely launching a strategy in the area of suicide. When we're in suicide prevention month, I was not even aware of that. But what I was aware of is what the Holy Spirit was saying in the atmosphere. And so I was able to decrease in myself, humble myself. I don't need to give you a word. I need to empower you through the Holy Spirit so that you live another day. So do know this, and I'm about to jump into the word. I'm stirred up. We will always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit here. We have an order. We have a flow to this house. But whenever the Holy Spirit wants to take that agenda and do something different, if it produces what God desires, we're going to go with that. Now, we're talking about knowing your enemy. And over the last two weeks, we started to unpack the actual enemy, because we hear this scripture a lot. You know, in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." The KJV, right? The Old Faithful says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we have to understand, if we're going to defeat the enemy, we have to understand the structure of his kingdom. So a lot of times we say, "Satan, we come to tear your kingdom down." But you don't even know what the kingdom look like, how to walk through the kingdom, what to do when you get to the kingdom. You're just saying churchy words. What we're doing here is giving you strategy so that you can tear down the enemy's kingdom. We learned in the first week how to what? Bind and loose. Because the Bible lets us know that we have the authority to make heaven respond to what we say. So when we say we bind you up, Satan, in the name of Jesus, heaven comes in and puts the cuffs on the enemy. When we say we loose angels in the atmosphere to war for us, then the angelic presence is available to fight on our behalf. We also can control the movement and the response of the enemy. You probably have heard people pray before and they tell the devil, "Loose your hold." When you have authority and you say, "Loose your hold," you know what the enemy got to do? Let it go. But that's why we have to have language so we know how to respond to the enemy. If we don't have the proper language, then the enemy can laugh at us. So last week we talked about what the powers look like. They're like the first shift supervisors. If you didn't catch it, go watch or go listen to the podcast. We were not live last Sunday, but we're back. Go listen to the podcast. We talked about powers. They're like frontline supervisors. And then we talked about principalities. They are really high governmental order in the enemy's kingdom, and a lot of times principalities, they establish in regions and families, they get access and they govern a number of different powers, right? And so we talked about that and what we have to do, but today we want to talk about the rulers of darkness in high places, right? Now, this is actually the basic level of warfare. It's weird because when you hear powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. When you hear, you think that it's growing and growing, but it actually, the rulers of darkness in high places is when it gets to the basic level. That's the actual demonic spirit that you're engaged with, right? So powers have the ability as a supervisor to tell them what they need to do. They gather, like they put together a mixture of what's right for you. And a lot of times what the enemy puts together in terms of demonic spirits to attack you are in direct connection to whatever your flesh responds to the easiest. So there is a natural component of our flesh that has a sin nature, right? That sin nature is what the enemy designs his attack for. Because it doesn't make sense to be trying to attack you in areas that you're not ordinarily weak in. The enemy is smart enough to at least come after you in the areas that you're weak in. Right? And so we talked about powers, principalities. Today we want to talk about rulers of darkness in high places. What I'm going to do, because I want you to understand this, because this is what I found is one of the most unlearned areas of the body of Christ. So people know the enemy is real, but many have no idea what they're fighting at any given moment, especially when they start talking about spirits, and especially when we come into the black church primarily. I know we're diverse here, but I got to talk to my black folks for a minute, all right? Because we call everything a spirit in the church. I come up against the spirit of high blood pressure. That's not actually a spirit. It's a manifestation of the spirit of infirmity. And so when I want to take authority over the enemy, it's more appropriate for me to come up against the spirit of infirmity, not the spirit of high blood pressure, because the spirit of infirmity is laughing like, you don't even know who I am, so I ain't got to go. Now, when you are unlearned, it's best to just say, I come up against every demonic spirit. Because if you don't know them by name, then just to take authority by the name above every name. So I might not know the name today, but I come up against every demonic force that would try to invade my atmosphere. I bind you up in the name of Jesus. All right, that's when you're still at the basic level. But you can still utilize that with great power. All right? You know how you learn like the easy way to do something to solve a problem? That's the cheat way. All right? Now, I want you to be a little bit more intelligent with how you deal with the enemy. So I want to go through these 16 spirits that the Bible actually speaks of, right? And I want to teach you manifestations so that when you see these things, you know how to war against the enemy properly. The first one is the spirit of divination. The spirit of divination. And this one is important. We actually saw this one in the Word of God. This spirit was following Paul and a few of them, and she was just walking around and saying, oh, you mighty men of God. I've seen this all the time, because a lot of times people who deal with the spirit of divination, they will come in the form of flattery, but they actually have an end goal to what they're doing. So discernment teaches you not to respond to flattery. And see, one of the easiest ways that the enemy can trick you and lure you in is through flattery, because we all, I'm not going to say we all, but many people have this natural thing to respond to people saying good things about you. So the enemy knows that all I got to do is tell you a little good stuff about you, and that's going to fool you in. Let's roll with it. Manifestations, fortune tellers. You got to be careful. Y'all be calling Sister Eve and them. What you will find out is that the spirit of divination a lot of times pairs with familiar spirits. And so sometimes you'll hear someone tell you something that sounds like something that's gone on in your life. But what happens is when you're dealing with the spirit of divination, a lot of times what they do to lure you in is they speak to your past. Because familiar spirits are familiar with what you've already gone through. And that's why you have to have some level of discernment. You like, they told me everything I went through. Absolutely. Because the spirit world is active at all times. But what they cannot do is properly tell you about the future. But they get your buy-in to believe what they say about the future because they have told you about the past. It's a spirit. Manifesting soothsayers, warlocks, Satanists, witches, Wiccan, Druid, pagan, stargazers, zodiac. You got to be careful with horoscopes, all the things. There's a lot attached to things that seem innocent, but the enemy pulls you into more things, right? Rebellion, hypnotists, enchanters, drugs. When you get into the place that you're doing deep enchantment and all these deep oaths, be careful of those things. Make sense? Understand the spirit behind everything that you partake in. Spirit of divination. The next one, familiar spirit. You're going to learn something in this church. What you won't be is ignorant here. I always say you could choose to be stupid, but you won't be ignorant. Stupidity is a choice. Y'all don't know that? Like, stupidity really is a choice. Because it means that you have knowledge and you're not applying it. But ignorance is not a choice initially, right? But when you get exposed to information, it helps you to be stronger. Familiar spirit, all right? This is another one. So you see some of the same things, the medium, peeping and muttering, necromancer, yoga. Now, when I say yoga, I'm not talking about the stretches, all right, that you do. I'm talking about the practice that comes along with it. When we start chanting to different spirits and all, be careful. All right, because somebody going to leave out and pass say, Pastor told me I can't do no more yoga. I can't stretch. I did not say that. But if you get in a yoga session and they say, bye, 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 bye. I want to point out the last one, which is the false prophecy. Right? Because false prophecy is a result of familiarity. So a lot of times, if you're not mature spiritually, then a familiar spirit can begin to be activated around you and you don't know. When me and my wife first got together, she had a friend. I told that girl, this one ain't right. She wanted to argue me down at first. I'm not going to say argue down, but she was just very assertive in her understanding of her friend. Now, mind you, I've been doing spiritual warfare at a high level since I was 12. So in terms of dealing with the enemy, being bold enough to speak to the enemy, tell him because my mom had a very strong deliverance anointing. So I have not been afraid of the enemy since childhood. I don't get scared. I'm not spooked out. The enemy manifests. Let's go. So I understand that I have the power. I serve the name above every name. You have no authority over me. I want to get you that bold with the enemy. That you look at the devil and say, are you serious? That's all you got? You think I'm scared of that? Get yourself on out of here. Matter of fact, I don't even know the last time I truly had to wrestle with a spirit because they scared of me. They be like, are we going to stay away? We don't want him to know we're here. Amen. And so the false prophecy is a big part of familiar spirit. She had a friend, like I said. So one day we're in a service and the girl's behind me and she starts praying in the spirit. Notice I put in quotations because it was a familiar spirit praying. And because I had discernment, I got vexed about what she was doing. And I told her, you're going to have to trust my leadership on this, but she has to go. I can do a whole message on order right there. Amen. She followed me a couple of months later. When I tell you all kind of foolishness emerged in that girl life, she was looking like, I can't believe all of this. Familiar spirit. Third one, spirit of jealousy. Spirit of jealousy. It's a big one. Manifestation. Murder is not a spirit. Murder is a result of the spirit of jealousy. Right? Revenge, spite, it shows up because of the spirit of jealousy. You look all throughout the Word of God. Cain is one of the earliest examples of this. Cain allowed the spirit of jealousy to come up because he was mad because Abel had gotten some level of preferential treatment with God because of his heart towards God. And this shows up in the church a lot. You mad about somebody anointing, somebody call, somebody favor, but you don't want to measure up with sacrifice, my God. And that's what happened with Cain. And so Cain allowed the spirit of jealousy to get so strong at him that he said, I can't even bear to look at Abel anymore. And here comes murder. Anger, rage, jealousy, hatred, cruelty, strife, contention, competition, envy. The spirit of jealousy will constantly cause division. You got to be careful of the friends you have. That don't mean you well, because if you are constantly in competition with me, we cannot be friends. If I constantly have to prove myself to you, goodbye. If we constantly in a, I almost said, I'm going to just say it because I can. If we constantly in a pissing match, you can go and piss over there. Bye. I'm not doing it. I don't have time for that. It's only so many hours in a day, and I promise you, I don't have time to put up with the jealousy around me. I'll find some friends who want to propel me, who are okay with my trajectory. I will help to propel them, but I don't have time. Some of y'all looking at y'all life like, oh, Lord, I see some of this in my life. Lying spirit. The lying spirit. My God, the devil is the father of lies. You got to be careful of those little white lies that you let yourself tell. And how you subject yourself to one of the ultimate strategies of the enemy. If he's the father of lies, he loves for you to lie. Strong deceptions, flattery, superstitions, religious bondages. Can you believe the lying spirit shows up in the church? False prophecy, accusations, slander, gossip, lies, false teachers. Lying spirit. It's all in the Word of God. These. As a matter of fact, we sent out a document last year. We'll do it again this year. So if you're not on our email list, get on it. It will explain this. It actually has some scriptures that you can read to see this in the Word of God. I wish I had more time. The perverse spirit. It's a big one. Perverse spirit. Perverse spirit. And the perverse spirit is very rampant generationally, I believe. Very, very rampant generationally. Just moving throughout our generation. Perverse spirit manifests as a broken spirit, evil actions, atheism, abortion, child abuse, filthy minds, doctrinal error, sexual perversion. Twisting the word comes from a perverse spirit. Foolish, chronic worrier, contentions, and incest. The spirit, the perverse spirit brings a lot of this into your life. Right? So even if you go, I one of the ones that surprised me when I was doing research is even like the chronic worrier. But if you think about it, what the enemy is doing is perverting a situation and is choosing to cause you to believe something that's outside of what God has said. So you got to learn how to take authority over the perverse spirit. Spirit of haughtiness. My God, this is another one that I don't have a lot of time for. I have I'm not going to say minimal grace. I understand when the Lord has called me to help somebody move from one place to the next. I also understand when my time has come to an end because they like where they are. Amen. Spirit of haughtiness, arrogant, smug, pride, idleness, scornful, strife, obstinate, self-deception, contentious, self-righteous. The spirit of haughtiness is often rebellious and rejection of God. And so you got to be careful. Even one of the things that will actually point you to somebody who struggles with spirit of haughtiness is somebody that always thinks that their way is the right way or the best way. And if you always think that and you can never yield to another way or even be open to the fact that your way may not be the right way, you wrestle right here. It's a simple thing, but you actually, what it is, because the spirit of haughtiness, what it will do when it comes, it actually has another assignment. So it will start here. It might move to jealousy. Many of these spirits don't operate by themselves. They have a joined passion and force to come for you. But this one is often, this one tries to isolate you. This one tries to make you think that you know more. This is what logic is happening in our generation and pulling people away from God. This is the exact thing that Eve struggled with. Spirit of haughtiness came in and made her believe that God was not giving her access to what she should have. Spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness. Manifestation of it. Excessive mourning, sorrow, and grief, insomnia, self-pity, rejection, a broken heart, despair, dejection, hopelessness, depression, suicidal thoughts, inner hurts, and torn spirit. This is one I think we're most familiar with. You know, when you're dealing with the spirit of heaviness, a lot of times we just call out the actual thing. So when we talk about, so I've heard people say the spirit of suicide before. Suicide is not a spirit. What happens is the spirit of heaviness and the spirit of death come together to execute a strategy behind suicide, right? So the spirit of heaviness comes in, brings the heavy thoughts. Spirit of death comes in to convince the person that it is better for them to, they work together, but that there is no spirit of suicide. Does this make sense to you? Are you understanding what we're saying? I'm going to stop here because I'm going to have to pick up. We don't have no more time. I know y'all are like, oh my God, this is just getting good. I want the rest. I'm going to give you the rest, just not right now. Because I want you to digest this. I'm going to go back through what we went through today, all right? Divination, you have to be careful of what you call, you allow yourself to be attached to, right? So a lot that happens in witchcraft, all of that, you know, I don't know if it was the 9 o'clock or the 11:15 a couple of weeks ago, I was rebuking all that stuff. I was like, it's just foolishness. We have a whole video out about it, but I'm so serious about it because we start thinking that things are innocent and then nothing's wrong with it. You know, we got this whole movement. We getting back to our ancestors and our roots, and all this movement is to allow you to let foolishness into your life. And like I told y'all that week, then what's going to happen is you need me to come in your house and you like, Pastor, I don't know. It just feels dark every time I enter. Now I got to come and do some war because you didn't let craziness in. Be careful. Divination, familiar spirit today, spirit of jealousy, lying spirit, perverse spirit, haughtiness, and heaviness. Can we pick back up later on the rest? We're going to send you a document out. I guess we'll wait until after it's all done. Because it'll have the rest, and I don't want to spoil it for you. But we will send you out something that's going to allow you to even go deeper in scripture on these things so you can see in the word of God where the manifestations of these things happen. Amen? Stand to your feet all over the room.